Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
Hello, good people. 9 o'clock hour. We are halfway home tonight to begin the weekend. If you'd like to be a part of the show, hit us up 713-572-4610. Nick Hernandez still pitching for the Astros. They are still sucking.
Taking it for the team.
They're down 10-2. Some fella named Nick Kurtz, who is an ass, just hit a dinger solo shot moments ago for the A's. Just made bad worse for the Astros.
Yeah, Kurtz now has two homers tonight.
Can't stand that dude. He's been killing the Astros this year. I need him to just quit playing baseball.
Kurtz is 4-for-4.
Yeah.
With 4 runs and 4 RBIs.
It's disgusting.
He's hitting 300 this year with a 1027 OPS.
This guy thinks he's Jose Ramirez against the Astros, against everybody.
He's a triple shy from the cycle.
And we'll probably have at least 2 more at-bats to try to get that tonight.
I hope he doesn't get it, but.
Now, all right, real quick. If Nick Kurtz, or if anybody hits for the cycle in a game like this, does it mean the same if you hit that triple to get for the cycle, like against, like, oh, I don't know, Mauricio Dubon, Shea Whitcomb, John Singleton, like a position player that has no business pitching?
There is no mention of that in the record books.
I understand that.
Texas leaguer in a frozen robe looks the same on paper.
There's no asterisk, but because they are a member of the Sacramento Ass, and because that is very likely to happen against a position player tonight, or literally the bottom of a barrel dude out of the pen.
All right, I'm going with Shea Whitcomb as the position player pitching because we know they hate him. And if he gets hurt pitching, I don't think they care.
Big John.
Never mind him getting hurt. I mean, what else is new? You pitch baseballs for the Astros and you get hurt? Oh, not breaking news anymore. But if frickin' Nick Kurtz gets a damn triple and hits for the cycle against Mauricio Dubon or Shea Whitcomb, nah.
So you think it's going to be Doobie?
It's whatever.
You think it's going to be Big John?
Big John, yeah.
No,
yeah.
I got Shea Whitcomb.
I'm just spitting names out. I think it's going to be Cesar Salazar if he's actually up at the big club.
Oh, that is right. He's not.
He got optioned.
Damn it.
Last time he did, he threw.
You'd rather have Nick Hernandez here than Cesar Salazar?
You can only have 13-13, so you can't swap hitters for pitchers.
Cesar Salazar is like 12 and a half.
Cesar Salazar was actually optioned for Big John.
John Singleton should be optioned for like a brand new case of baseballs. Bring Cesar Salazar back. You know, like call him right now. He's just down the freeway. Sugarland in town tonight?
I think they are.
Come on. Like, can you Uber?
In fact, hold on. I can tell you right now.
Can we Uber John to Sugarland real quick and put Cesar on the return drive back? Like, let's get this thing popping, man.
Oh, no. Sugarland is actually in El Paso.
Damn it. Oh, that's a little drive.
A little?
Yeah. About 9.5 hours.
Yeah, it's pretty far.
Is it 9.5 hours?
Something like that. I'll check.
Yeah, it depends on how fast
Louis Guillorme on the rehab assignment for the Space Cowboys.
Yeah, let's go.
0-2.
Close to 11 hours.
11.
Entirely sure why Melton's not playing after he hit 3 baseballs over 100 miles an hour yesterday.
He's tired. It's a lot of work to do that, man. You kidding me? Hey, did Louis Guillorme get hurt when he made that badass catch?
He did not.
When did he get hurt?
Like 2 weeks later.
Oh, damn. Was it that long? 2 weeks? That's crazy.
Spencer Arrighetti tonight. 3 1/3. 3 runs, 2 earned. 4 hits, 1 walk, 2 strikeouts, allowed a homer. Arrighetti threw 62 pitches tonight, 39 Ooh. For strikes, 3 grounders, 4 flyouts.
I wonder if would you say the same logic may apply to Arrighetti that you were speculating for Christian Javier? Like, is he going to get 80, 85 pitches down there, or is he going to get 80, 85 pitches up here?
I think the same question is fair. With the amount of injuries, and now they've lost Walter.
Yeah.
And gusto being gusto. I do think it is possible that Arrieta throwing 60 pitches today, he might only have one more start before they bring him up.
One more start down there, yeah. 60, yeah, so like maybe 70, 75.
Yeah, 75, and then he comes up and they got him at 80, 85, and they're like, just get us through five.
Yeah, let's go, big dog. Let's
and,
go.
You know, for what was, Javier was 49, so he was on a 50 pitch. He was at 49. Figure one more, he'll be at 65. And then after that one, they could try to push him to 80. They might rush both of them up with one more start in the minors and then have them come up at like 80 pitches because the rotation's in tatters.
Yeah. Champ Slice says, hitting for the cycles, hitting for the cycle. Get out of here, Champ Slice. No, it's not. Caratini pitching?
Would you feel it's not hitting for the cycle if, you know, the cycle was in 1 week, a blonde, a brunette, a redhead, and say an Asian, and one of them, one of them happened to have, you know, it was like
a third nipple.
You hit like an eight, an eight, an eight, and the other one was like a five, just so you could complete the triple. the cycle. Are are you gonna say you know, it wasn't a real cycle because I, you know, I took the easy way out?
I would say it's not a real cycle. Just like, you know, there's like the nine beers, the nine dogs, and the nine innings, right? Like, if you're hitting eights, then the last one's got to be an eight, bro. Like, it can't just be, you know, the blue light special kind of a thing. Like,
hey, you know what? At the end of the week, maybe that's all the money you got left is for the blue light special. There were a lot of really good things that I bought with the blue light special.
I'm just saying. I you might feel good about it.
Half
off. That's you.
Half off is half off.
You will not go down in the record books without an asterisk in it, sir.
You know, there's no asterisk. It's just like riding a moped.
Which is?
It's a lot of fun until your friends catch you.
Okay. If that's not a I grew up in the 70s joke, I don't know what is. There you go. Moving on. 713-572-4610. I don't even know what the 2025 version is.
I swear to God, everybody your age knows that joke except you.
What's the joke? I got the joke, like, but it's an old joke. You referenced something that hadn't been popular for 40 years.
I'll tell you. I don't know if I want to say this on air.
Oh, just say it. It's Friday.
You're comparing a moped to the five.
Okay.
So, you know, the five.
Uh-huh.
And the moped, fun to ride till your friends catch you.
Yeah, I totally got that.
So you're the only person who didn't know that joke.
Well, is it from a movie?
Oh, good Lord.
If you just made it up, I got the joke. I'm just saying it's an old joke.
I think I heard it when I was eight.
Because you grew up in the 70s.
Well, when I was eight, it would have been the 80s.
Barely.
Still would have been the 80s.
Barely. Oh, man, come on. Guy Jean says Kurt's on my fantasy team, about the only bright side for me. Come on, man. Are you playing the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball League? It's
played,
for free.
I haven't
Who cares?
Played fantasy baseball since I've moved to Texas.
I haven't played fantasy baseball since literally the one time that I did, and it was on Yahoo. It was for free. I picked my team. I forgot about it until somebody told me, hey, how you doing in the Yahoo Baseball League?
See,
and I said, I'm in first place.
That's the problem. It's a Yahoo League.
Yeah.
There's no money involved.
Yeah.
See, when there's money involved, you care a lot more.
I was like 20.
So and Yahoo League sucks.
We used to have a steady league, baseball and football.
Mm-hmm.
And I won the baseball league 4 years in a row. And then I moved down here and the league ended. They just stopped playing.
I actually, do you guys want to do a fantasy football league this year?
You know, I was talking to Parker.
Not here. Not here. We see these people all the time.
Yeah, that's what I want to do with this. Yeah, I can talk trash.
Exactly.
I mean, we can't. We work at night. We don't get to have fun.
We get to have the most fun. What are you talking about?
Not with them. They get to go do steak night while we're here. I'm saying, like, do you want to do like a fantasy football league where we actually maybe have to like, I mean, I guess we could do it with work people, but someplace where we'd have to go meet on a Saturday or something and go get beers and
drink, that's the whole
food.
You want. That's how you want to do it.
Yeah.
So there's two things. Do I wonder that? Yes. I talked to Parker about the idea of, you know, doing a station fantasy league. He was thinking about it. I also have a concept that I want to try out.
Okay.
Which is full keeper league, but it's an auto draft league for the first year, and teams are assigned at random. Then you get assigned whichever team, kind of like if you're like buying an NFL team, you don't get to pick. It's whatever team is available, that's the team you're buying. So you wind up with a specific team, and then that's your team. And you have X number of roster spots, and how you manage your roster is up to you. You can trade whoever. You can cut whoever. You know, you draft only rookies going into the next year. Everybody else is a free agent.
So this is a dynasty league.
It's a dynasty league, but it's full auto draft, so nobody is making picks or everything. It's your team. You get your team is assigned to it random.
Okay.
And then you have to manage that team.
So you can trade.
I feel like a dynasty league might be a little too much for everybody here.
But I'm saying that's a concept that I really want to try.
Yeah, no. I mean, concept sounds fun.
Does it take a lot of work? Is that what you're saying?
A dynasty league, yeah.
I don't do fantasy sports, so I don't know.
The thing that it takes a long time is because you have to sit there and draft, but it makes it easier because you're auto-drafting. So basically, you don't have to draft. You don't worry about none of that.
And every team
press
is going to
walk
up,
away.
Yeah, and basically, every team will wind up with a chair of stars because the computer is going to assign them to everybody. So the computer always picks, quote, best available.
Yeah, yeah.
So everybody will have a set of stars, and then it's kind of on you to manage your team year to year, whether you're trading guys, picking guys up in free agency, how you draft your rookies, to manage that team to make your team better or worse.
Are you capped on, like, trades and stuff that you can make?
Just do whatever you want.
Okay. I mean, I'm down. Yeah, I'm down with it. Now, for money, not too much. I would cap it at like a $50 kind of a thing.
Yeah, and I think that's fine considering it's a concept and we don't know how it'll work. And you also don't, you know, you want to make sure guys are going to stay in the league before you raise the fees up. But yeah, to start it, I would $50 is probably fair. And then just like no transaction fees. You just get to transact however you want. And, you know, some teams do like auction. I just do free agency as your regular waiver wire free agency. And then you pick everybody up elsewhere. There's not all that crazy stuff. Try to make it as simple as possible.
Quick financials. We've got four shows, 6 to 11 every single day. So there's eight people. Are we doing producers as
Hell
well?
Hell yeah, we're doing producers. So, ain't leaving Chris out.
We got 12 people at $50 a head. That's $600.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty good little payday. And then the boss would have to be involved. I'm assuming he would want to.
Well, 12 people is usually a good size.
Oh, is that a good size?
Yeah, yeah. 12 is like perfect. League. Yeah, it's all perfect.
Right. Yeah. So 12 people, $600, $50 a head. And then whoever's got like the best record.
You have to win. Playoffs, you have to win.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I've
never done fantasy football.
So you play
football,
through like week 13, and then week 14 starts postseason.
That's weird. Why?
Because this way you're not playing week 18 when half the league sits their guys.
Oh, yeah. Okay. That makes sense. Yeah, I'm down.
All I know is Bajani's going to be sacked, though.
I'm going to be sacked?
Sacko. That means you're going to be the last dude.
You're going to come in dead last.
Yeah, because I've never played.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And guess what? And you're going to be the guy I'm going to look to trade for with. Because I know you're probably not going to know
He said he's going to molest you in a trade.
Mm-hmm. Now, I mean, it could go one of two ways. One, I could take this seriously. And for the reason that I did the Yahoo Fantasy Baseball League years ago, I wanted to pay more attention to the other teams not named the Houston Astros. And I didn't do it. I forgot I even had it. And then somebody said, hey, I think you're in first place. You should check it out. And I would totally do
a fantasy baseball league again, but I need a league where, like, I know people. I don't enjoy leagues where there's a draft and then nobody talks to each other for the rest of the league.
Yeah, yeah. You want to do it with people that you know, that you get together with and talk crap about, eat, drink, have fun. That's what I would... That's the only reason why I would want to do this, but I don't know that we could do that here.
The best years of fantasy football were on Sundays. We'd all get together and go to a random place and watch one of the games, local games, and talk massive junk on each
other. Here's the problem with the – this is why I guarded against –
do it on road games.
not even. Pendergast is out. Whoever does the post-game show with him, is it Clint Sterner on road games?
Yeah.
He's out. Whoever's producing that, out.
Well, they don't have to join us every week. Just, you know, for the draft.
I'm saying you'd want to get together with like a group of people every once in a while, at least like once a month during the season kind of a thing to enjoy each other's company.
Texans bye week.
Saturday.
Oh, you know, maybe Saturday. But then again, if it's people here, they do this all day, you know.
Hey, Thursday night, none of us are working. Thursday night.
Monday's off, Thursday's off. That's a good idea. See, this is what we're doing, talking.
Every now and then I come up with an idea and it doesn't suck.
Yeah, yeah. No, that doesn't suck.
By the way, from the 281, hey guys, I'm 55. I get every one of Patrick's jokes. Please keep it up. See? He gets them.
Again, case in point, it's a 1970s joke.
It's at least an 80s joke. Because I didn't hear it until the 80s.
Barely. barely. All right, coming up, I don't want to talk Texans. I just don't want to. Coming up next, should the Rockets have gotten more for Cam Whitmore? Think about that, because there's an actual answer. Next.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of the Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to the Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
I want to be here for the rest of my career. This is where I want to be. I love Houston, love the coaching staff, love the team. And I'm just ready to build something special, win some games, bring a championship to the city, just bring the city what it deserves. Houston is a great city, and I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad they believe in me.
That is clearly not the voice of one Cam Aloysius Whitmore. In fact, that was a person that was is kind of the opposite of Cam Whitmore. One guy is here, the other guy is not. One guy is all in on what Ime Udoka and the Rockets want to do, and the other guy is not. That was the voice of Jabari Smith. He is very much all in, and Cam Whitmore is, I don't know, TBD, all in on whatever he is down with the Washington Wizards for. I think that's where he's at, right? Is it the Washington Wizards?
Traded him to the Washington Black Hole.
So, look, I bring this up because Kelly Eco from The Athletic did like a mailbag article this week. And one of the questions that he answered in his mailbag was, should the Rockets have gotten more for Cam Whitmore? And Eco addressed it in a really lengthy response. And so I'll just read you like a portion of it from Eco. It says, quote, on draft night, the Rockets attempted to move Whitmore for a late first-round selection, team sources said, but the teams weren't interested in gauging at that price point. There were several other offers for Whitmore involving second-round picks on the table, and Houston could have easily shuttled him in that direction. But Whitmore's representatives put development before anything else, not wanting a repeat of the past two seasons. The Rockets chose a destination close to home. Whitmore played high school ball in Severn, Maryland, about 25 miles from D.C., and a team in a rebuilding phase aligning with his current goals. It was also the best deal available at the time. So the Rockets swung that deal with Washington. That was Eco's response, and I think every fan probably asked the same question. It's the same question that I asked you moments after we'd found out the Rockets traded Cam Whitmore. I was like, man.
That's it?
Second round pick? You know, really? Second round pick? Because Cam Whitmore, like, Rocket bias, Cam Whitmore bias, like, we'd watch the dude ball. We know he's got game, a lot of it. Like, You know, there was times where he's literally a walking bucket, and it's like, dude, seriously, like if this guy's all in somewhere, he could be a badass. And how old is he? 20? Like, I don't know when he's going to be 21. He's going to be 21 at some point in time this year. Like, that dude's baller. Second round pick, pretty crazy. But there's the question answered. Like, the Rockets thought he should have been worth more, but you accept what you accept. And I thought it was kind of cool. Like, maybe it's a perfect storm, best of both worlds. Cam and his representation felt like Washington would have been a good spot for him because of, the developmental, things that they have going there. Maybe they like the coach, first-year head coach, though, by the way. I can't remember the guy's name, but he's never coached in the NBA before, at least as a head coach. But the Rockets putting him in a good situation, like tip of the cap to them. Maybe they want to see the best for Cam Whitmore, just worked out second-round pick as a second-round pick.
Well, look, they sent him to a team where he's going to play, he's going to start, he's going to get plenty of shots. But the biggest reason why teams weren't willing to give the Astros a first-round pick is because they knew the Astros were looking to get rid of him, were in a hurry to get rid of him, and therefore would cave, which ultimately they did. And the other part of it is, last year, Cam showed some maturity weaknesses. And that is something that will always scare teams off. When you have a young kid who doesn't want to buy in, doesn't want to be, you know, into the system, doesn't want to listen to what the coaches are telling them, and has a negative attitude where, look, there are games they're winning and he's pissed off.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're pissed off after a win and you're happy after a loss, well, we got problems.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's part of what the issue was with Cam is a lot of times his body language wasn't good. His behavior wasn't good. His attitude wasn't good. Now, he literally turned 21 2 weeks ago. We're talking about a real young guy. But like you said, from Maryland, played at Villanova. You know, he didn't play at Villanova because, you know, Villanova is some bum-ass team. Villanova is one of the best basketball programs in the country.
Baller, yeah.
So you got to be a player if you're going to Nova. And clearly he's played in systems before. He didn't like the fact that, for the most part, he was outside the rotation on a very deep, very good Rockets team. And now he's going to get a chance to play on a really bad Wizards team.
Yeah, it's pretty wild, though. Just to think on the surface, guys, like, you're 20 years old on an NBA team. Holy crap, who just hit a home run? I'm sorry.
Same guy.
Nick Kurtz.
Stop.
Yes, I'm serious. That's three.
That should have tried to hit it off the wall. That way he'd have gotten the cycle.
Oh, my goodness.
Three homer night.
Not off of John Singleton, Mauricio Dubon, or Shea Whitcomb, but off of Caleb Ort.
Yeah, Caleb Ort, I'm sorry. That dude, I don't care if he throws 98. He's not very good.
You don't say.
I don't give a damn he throws 98. That dude gives up runs like every time he's in the game. And this is the lowest leverage of lowest leverage. Just when you come in, you're down 8 runs in the 8th inning. And you give up a bomb. Like, if it wasn't for the fact they've got, you know, 11 billion pitchers on IL. But this is exactly why, you know, I said to you for 2 months, you know, the Astros need a starter, a bat, and a reliever. The Nick Hernandezes and the Caleb Orts of the world need to not be on this team.
Yeah. Dude, Nick Kurtz, 5 for 5, 5 runs scored, 5 driven in, 3 home runs. A's lead 11-2.
Dude should play the lottery tonight.
Man.
5-5-5-5. I'd play the lottery tonight.
Yeah. 11 runs on 11 hits for the A's. Believe it or not, some way, somehow, they've still struck out 10 times. 4 times more than the Houston Astros have struck out as a ball club tonight, which still only have 4 hits. Silver lining for the Astros, Chaz McCormick's got a multi-hit game tonight. 2 for 2, sir.
You know, the more I watch that that replay of the ball that Chazzy had that bounced in front of him and then took that crazy backspin hop.
Yeah.
I don't blame him for missing the hop, because that I don't think there was any way to anticipate. You're running full speed one direction, the ball lands, and it just straight kicks the other way.
Mm-hmm.
My issue with this is, why didn't he lay out for that ball? Because I think it was within his reach. If he lays out for that ball, he makes the catch inning over. Did he not lay out for the ball because he's trying to make sure it doesn't get hurt again? Maybe he's...
The team's down 9 runs.
Well, they weren't then.
What was the score? 6-0?
No, that's the one that made it 2-0.
Damn, was it that early?
Yeah. I feel like...
First inning.
I feel like that was a play that if he hadn't just come off the IL, he might have made a dive for, and he didn't because he's maybe not fully 100% and doesn't want to wind up back on the IL, and he's playing things a little more conservatively. And the ball just happened to take an oddball hop.
Possibly. Was it not Chaz McCormick who dove in like 3 nights ago and made a hell of a catch though,
yeah,
in center field? So,
just I can't tell you what's going on. I don't know what's going on with his body.
Yeah.
All I know is that looked like a ball Chaz could have caught.
Mm-hmm.
And we've seen him catch before. So, did he make a business decision not to dive for that ball?
Yeah. I don't know.
I mean, listen, if he made a business decision because maybe he felt a little something, like I'm not going to. You know, kill a guy because he let a ball bounce in front of him if he was worried about, hey, you know, I'm not quite right. I'm not going to kill him for that.
Yeah.
Because it's 2-0, and at 2-0, you can overcome that. You can score 2 runs.
Yeah, you're not thinking it's going to get out of hand, but, I mean, it was literally like 2 to 3 nights ago where he makes that tremendous diving catch in towards the infield. Maybe he jarred something, you know, felt a little something there. And if you're Chaz McCormick and you're thinking, Jake's hurt, Taylor Trammell is playing some pretty good ball right now. I have to seize the opportunities when I get them. And I'm not risking injury at this point because I'm starting to swing the bat pretty well in the cages. I think it's all going to come together. You never know what's going through a guy's head. Let's just see. Wait till it plays out all the way through.
You know, I had second year in college for about 3 weeks, I had a really messed up thumb. My thumb was like 3 times SARS, big as it should have been, because I had dove for a ball and landed on my glove the wrong way, and my thumb just swelled up like a balloon.
Mm-hmm.
And for the next probably 2-3 weeks, I played with my hand completely taped and couldn't really hold my thumb, and I had to, like old time, two-hand catch everything.
Yeah.
Because I couldn't close my glove right. So I'm out there, you know, trying to two-hand catch everything. Well, in the outfield, it's a lot easier to two-hand catch things than it is in the infield. And, you know, in the outfield, you're scooping a ball and basically popping it up, and I'd catch it in the air and throw it. Well, it's harder to do that at third base. And, you know, I'm basically, like, trying to, like...
That's brutal, man.
Like, half catch a ball and then pull it out of the glove at the same time.
Yeah.
Yeah, That was not fun. That was not fun at all.
No, not at third base. There's not many infield. There's not an infield.
Hey, coach just me. He's like, what the hell are you doing? I'm like, coach, you know I can't close my hand. Why did you put me here?
Yeah.
He's like, well, I don't have anybody else to play third base. I said, well, then I'm doing the best I can, but I can't close my hand.
You got nobody else on a team with 2 good hands playing the outfield?
Play third base.
Good Lord, man.
That was, you know, the, one of the things, a lot of teams I played on, the position I played usually had to do with we didn't have anybody to play that base. Like, I played everywhere. I played all 3 outfield positions. I played every infield position except first.
Mr. Utility Man.
Pretty much. I played every position. And so I usually played wherever we didn't have somebody to play.
Were you playing for a team called the Astros back then? That's weird. All right, more Area 45 next.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Karam Injury Lawyer Studios. Sports Radio 610 presents Area 45 with Bijani and Creighton.
You want an interesting stat for how good a night Nick Kurtz is having?
Is this Sarah Lang's?
No, this is Matt Kawahara.
Ooh, let's go.
Nick Kurtz, 15 total bases, are the second most by any opposing player against the Astros in a single game, according to Baseball Reference.
Ooh, second most. Does he tell us the first?
Does.
The opposition with the most total bases against the Astros in history in a single game. I'm going to go with Barry Bonds. Who you got?
Give you a hint?
Sure.
It was a Met.
Son of a gun. Was a Met.
Was a Met.
Was he ever an Astro?
He's not.
Okay. That rules out Carlos Beltran. Ahoy! I'm going to go with Keith Hernandez.
That is incorrect.
Who you got?
1999.
Ooh, 99 Met.
And he was an infielder.
99 Met. Who played first, second, third shortstop for the Mataruskis in 1999? Jose Reyes?
That is incorrect.
Is that too young for Jose Reyes?
That is, yeah. Jose Reyes was not on the team yet.
Jeffries.
He was long gone by then.
Who played first base for the Mets in 99?
John Olerud.
And it was not him.
It was not John Olerud.
Who played third base for the Mets in 1999?
Got beat up by Nolan Ryan.
Robin Ventura was not Robin Ventura.
Was not Robin Ventura.
Right. Who you got?
It was Edgardo Alfonso.
Oh, hell.
16 total bases in a three-homer game against them in 1999.
Damn.
Before Fonzie got injured and then fell apart as a player.
Did they at least lose that game? Does it say if they won or lost?
If he had three homers, I'm going to say the Mets won that game.
Baggy could have hit two or three himself.
Does not say.
Well, no, it was, yeah.
99, yeah. But no, it doesn't say. It just says that it was Edgardo Alfonso. I used to have a Fonzie jersey.
What position did he play?
Second.
Second base, man. All right. All right, you want to do a Mariner hit tally?
Oh, yeah, let's go.
Mariners hit tally through four innings for them. They are they're at the Angels. Where do the Angels play? Anaheim. They claim Los Angeles, though. So the Mariners are through four innings. I will set the over-under at four.
Under.
Correct.
Yes. Yes.
Give me a number.
Two.
Correct.
Yes.
They've got one run on two hits, and they are losing to the Angels
2-1. Ah, you loser!
So that's good news.
Coffee sippers losing to drug dealers.
Unless the Astros pull off a comeback of all comebacks like they did in 1998 against the St. Louis Cardinals when they were down 12-2, and they came back and won 13-12.
Don't call it a comeback.
Then the Mariners are going to stay five games behind the Astros. But here you go. Good news. What's trending on Twitter is fire Aaron Boone. And the Yankees Twitter is trending.
Oh, we got to find some Nick Turturro tweets. There's got to be some Nick Turturro tweets. Oh,
probably is. That's because the Phillies destroyed the Yankees today 12-5.
Oh, yes.
A thing of beauty, which means the Yankees, you'll keep your cushion between them, which I think they are fourth best team in the American League now.
But these beatdowns, when the Yankees keep taking the beatdowns, I wonder if that motivates them to spend more prospects to bring in more players.
Two more errors for them tonight as well.
By who?
Haven't checked.
Oh, my goodness.
Let me see.
They are the worst defensive team in baseball. They really are.
Errors by Goldschmidt. He had Goldschmidt and Warren.
Goldie made an error, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Warren's a pitcher, isn't he?
Just a little update on the Astros. Cooper Hummel will be pitching this inning.
Cooper Hummel!
Oh, let's go!
We all lost on that one.
Well,
we sure did.
Hold on. Will Nick Kurtz be coming up to face Cooper Hummel?
Please no, man. That's enough, Nick. That's enough.
Let me see. I think they've got Wilson.
No, it was not. It was Will Warren, who is a pitcher.
Yeah.
But Will Warren, who actually did not pitch bad today. He gave up 2 runs in 5 2/3. But the vaunted Yankee bullpen gave up 2, 4, 6, 10 runs.
It is very possible Nick Kurtz comes up in this ninth inning because he would need to be the sixth batter to hit in the inning. And something tells me Cooper Hummel ain't got what Cesar Salazar's got in terms of putting some zeros up on the board.
What, an 80-mile-per-hour fastball?
Yeah. Oh, by the way, Kyle Schwarber hit 2 more bombs today. He now has 36 homers.
I thought it was 37. But
it's 36, according to the site. 36 homers, 82 RBI. We're not even to August. Schwarber's hitting .255.
That's sick.
But he's got a .960 OPS. He's 3 for 5 tonight with 4 ribs and two bombs.
I did have a bit more bad news to share with you.
I'm afraid I've got some bad news.
The Toronto Blue Jays won today. Beat the Tigers 6-2. Out-hit them 13-5.
Tigers L.
So you're going to drop a full game to the Blue Jays, and you'll be... damn it. Were they a game behind or 2 games behind coming into play today?
They'll be 2 games behind.
Okay, they will be 2 games behind. All right, well, I mean, it's not terrible.
Check out, like, is he throwing knuckleballs?
His
motion is almost like he's throwing a knuckleball.
I mean, he's just cavalierly throwing 82-mile-per-hour fastballs up. I mean, that was chilling, 82.
Like, top of the zone,
if
baby.
If he dialed one back, I bet you could hit 90. He could hit 90 if he really let one go.
Yeah, but then he wouldn't know where it was going. Look at him. He's not even like going into any kind of windup. He's just doing a little slide step.
Leadoff man on base.
Yeah, you know, so Butler finally gets his first hit of the night. That's the guy who bunted up 6-0 and should have been wearing 199 in the back.
Or at least 82, you know, in the ribs. Come on, Hummel. Get it together, man. Hit this guy.
Soft.
Golly. You know, the Astros just aren't that team. They're not that team. They're not the team that is me like, you know what? I get mad and I'm going to just, you know, fire one in this guy's gut.
They should go up there and just throw Ephus pitches on every pitch.
Oh, because, you know, that works out all the time.
Well, as long as you're not throwing at Ted Williams, yeah.
They'll be on the SportsCenter highlights later. 46-mile-per-hour floater. Crank! 385 feet later.
You throw that Ephus pitch.
Yeah. Nick Kurtz hit his 4th home run tonight. Off a 46-mile-per-hour fastball from Cooper Hummel.
Ted Williams hit an Ephus pitch in the All-Star game for a home run. Blasted the snot out of it.
Did you ever see, I know you know, Early Wynn was pitching and Luke Appling hit a dinger. I don't know if it was Early Wynn. But Luke Appling, at the age of like 76.
Yes, in the old-timers game.
Hit a dinger in the
Warren
old-timers
Spahn,
game.
Warren Spahn, I think it was.
Off of Warren Spahn.
Over Warren Spahn.
I think you're right. Luke
and
Appling.
Luke Appling at 75 years old. And he pulled it. And he pulled it.
And that sucker could still run the bases too, man. His home
and,
run
and the thing is, you look at him like, oh my God, he's going to fall over. And he's like, 75 years old, I tanked that. You know what?
Oh, man. That was in the dome, was it not? I think that was the old-timer game in the Dome. I could be wrong on that, but I thought it was in the Dome. That they used to play the old-timer games there quite a bit. I don't know if that was like a regular site to do that, but I know my grandfather played in a handful of those games because we have the actual bats from those games.
That game was at RFK.
The Luke Appling homer,
yeah.
Okay.
It was in 82. And it was called the Cracker Jack Old Timers Baseball Classic.
Okay.
Like 30,000 people in the stands to watch this thing.
Yeah.
And I do. I kind of wish. He hit it off Warren Spahn.
Nick Kurtz is up, by the way.
Hit him. hit him and then fake charge in the batter's box.
You know, I don't think Cooper's going to give him anything to swing at.
Like I would. He should hit him on purpose and then run up to him like, let's fight, like, and then laugh.
The problem is I think it probably won't be on purpose that Cooper Hummel won't give him anything to hit. I don't think he can find the strike zone. 78 miles per hour, like 5 inches outside right now, the last couple of pitches, I think. Oh, he did it.
Four homer game.
Okay. So check this stat sheet out. Nick Hertz, 6-for-6, 6 runs scored, 8 RBIs, 4 home runs against the Houston Astros. Now officially the record holder for most total bases against the Astros all time.
Yes, and officially stat padding.
Yeah.
These are me bounds.
What would you rather have? Would you rather hit for the cycle or hit 4 home runs in a game?
I'd rather hit 4 homers.
Four home runs. What are we doing here?
That's what I'm saying.
4 homers in a game has not been done very often.
Now, the 4th home run, my same argument applies.
It still counts.
It counts. Of course it counts. But it came off of Cooper frickin' Hummel.
Hey, it counts. I hate to say it, but it counts, man.
I know, but it'd be, come on.
Still had sex. Put a bag on my head. Still counts.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the Cracker Jack Old Timers Baseball Classic.
That argument really applies, like, if you're a teenager, you know, like, I still had sex, you know.
Still had sex.
It's different when you're in your late 20s, 30s, 40s.
Lasted 2 minutes. Still had sex. She cried when it was over. Still had sex. The Cracker Jack Old Timers Classic, that 1982 game, uh-huh. That was the first one. And they played that every year from 82 to 90.
I think
they played it at RFK.
Say locations?
No, they played it at RFK in from 82 to 87. And then from 88 to 90, they played it at Pilot Field in Buffalo because, well, they couldn't get RFK anymore.
But that's just that sponsor.
And Cracker Jack actually dropped it after 85. Then it just became the national Old Timers Classic. It used to be on ESPN.
There were old timer games in the 60s because we have bats from like 62
well,
to 65.
Well, the Yankees have an old timers game every year.
But for just their guys. I'm saying we had, I don't have it, but my uncle has it in his baseball room. It's like a team picture. It was the old Houston Buffs and all of the greats from, you know, former major leaguers at that time. I mean, there's anybody from Joe DiMaggio, Dizzy Dean, I think Ted Williams. And I don't know what year that was, but I know for a fact it was in the Astrodome, and they played it in the Astrodome. I want to say from 62 to 65. Maybe we've got a 66 bat, but there was a circuit sponsored by somebody totally different than that made Houston the home for that old-timers game back then. It could have been a Houston Buffs thing, and they brought in all former players, kind of like the Yankees, you know, used to do or maybe still do. I don't know.
So in Jim Boughton's book, Ball Four,
mm-hmm.
Which chronicles his 1969 season with the then Seattle Pilots
mm-hmm.
and the Astros, he says the Astros had an old-timers game in 69 on September 1st.
Mm-hmm.
And that they previously had an old-timers game in 65
mm-hmm.
that was the Baseball Immortals against the Texas All-Stars. That was played on Labor Day 1965.
Yeah, that might be the
picture. That might be the picture you have. Yep. If it's from 65, that might be it. That was in the Dome. And it was 2 innings played before an Astros-Cubs game. And it had like over a dozen Hall of Famers. It had Bill McKechnie and Joe Medwick were there. And so they had... Mm-hmm. That might be
Medwick's
the game.
That
is that 1965?
Yeah,
that 1965 game
had to be Medwick's autograph is on that picture. That I'm.
This is how we sleuth.
Yeah, it's good stuff, man. I'm glad it's there because a lot of that old baseball history, you know, like old timers games. I mean, who knows? You know how much of that info is actually still out there?
It's weird that between you and me, we can think of things that happened a long time ago and be like, all right, I think this is what happened. And then find it immediately because what we think happened.
Yeah. It's wild. And we were, in some cases, like 50 years even from being thought of yet. It's because we were raised right.
Luke Appling retired
mm-hmm.
after the 1950 season, and my parents weren't born yet.
And then 26 years later, hit a dinger off of a Hall of Famer.
32 years later.
32 years later, hit a dinger.
Took Warren Spahn deep.
All right, 10 o'clock hour coming up next.
As the U.S. men's national team takes center stage at a home World Cup, make sure you're listening to Call It What You Want, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can join me, I'm Jimmy Conrad, alongside Charlie Davies, Tony Miola, Marcelo Balboa, and Benny Feilhaber throughout this tournament for previews, instant reactions, and analysis of every U.S. match. Then all summer, we're back every Tuesday and Thursday, covering all things U.S. men's national team. Download and follow Call It What You Want on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.